Okay, before we leave Gan Eden, there was two points I wanted to make, right at the end of Perek Gimel, something that I skipped last week, which is very worthy of mentioning, is apparently based on a Gemara. The Hirsch quotes here, not quite at the very end, but close to the end, and he points out the Gemara in Sota, Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, and Yalkut Shimoni, Bereishis Lamed Dalet, that the psukim that we have at the end of the Torah, or at the end of this parak, and also the very end of the Torah, point out something that Chazal point out, that the Torah begins with Gemilas Chasadim and it ends with Gemilas Chasadim. Here Hashem is clothing the naked, and at the end of the Torah, Hashem buries Moshe Rabbeinu. There are many other things that happen. First of all, the fact that we were kicked out of Gan Eden means that death came to the world. We weren't allowed to eat from the Eitz HaChaim. And now that there's death in the world, the fact that it's possible to bury the dead at all is a result of being kicked out of Gan Eden. And the fact that it's difficult to work now actually means that while it's maybe a selfish act to get deeply involved in your work for yourself and you're hoarding your wealth, you go to work and it's all about me, me, me. But it's a man who provides for his family and he's doing all this hard work, his actor and the woman who's also working hard for the family and the wife is taking care of the husband, the children, and also working in our modern times. So all of these actions have now become acts of chesed. So he says, basically, the famous Gemara, just like Hashem clothes the naked, visits the sick, like we see by Avraham Avinu, who had the bris milah, Hashem visits him, comforts mourners, buries the dead. Same thing with us. And Hirsch points out, just think about that. We know this is a trademark of Judaism, all of our Gemilas Chasadim societies that we have. But had man not been expelled from Gan Eden and now become dependent on the assistance of his fellow man, the mitzvah of Gemilas Chasadim would never have become available to us, at least not on this level. There was one thing he left out in the list of things that Hashem does, which was that Hashem takes care of the chasan and the kala. There's a medrash that says that that's who the shushpinim were, that's who the escorts were for Adam and Chava. So that didn't have to be, you didn't have to get kicked out of Gan Eden for that. But for the most part, most of the forms that are of chesed that are listed, the things Hashem does that we should emulate, are things as a result of being kicked out of Gan Eden, death and mourning and being naked and all of that, and the need to have clothing, in other words, after being naked, all come as a result of this being kicked out. And Hirsch points out one more thing, again, in his strong refutation against Christian dogma, which they claim that man was tainted forever and became lowly and irrevocably bad. He says the fact that this is the result of being chased out of Gan Eden, that now we have this elevated role in our lives of chesed, is another point. That look at us. He says this refutes the erroneous notion that the first sin brought a curse upon man and deprived his descendants of the purity of their souls. Look, being kicked out of Gan Eden elevates us to all these new opportunities for being good. If we're so ruined, it's a strange result that now a whole society becomes a society of chesed. Doesn't make sense. So that's one of his, he keeps coming back to the error of Christian dogma of original sin. The last point I want to mention from this parak is a very, very central theme in Hirsch's Torah on the subject of Torah im Derech Eretz. He says as follows. In Tana, and this is, by the way, if you know Hirsch, you know, you find this everywhere. Torah im Derech Eretz. What is Derech Eretz? And what does it have to do with Gan Eden and the way back into Gan Eden? So you'll see right now, this is the introduction to that notion, and it's all over the place. In Tana de Ve'elio and Vayikra Rabbah, this derech, lishmor derech Eitz HaChaim, which we mentioned at the end, to guard the way to the Eitz HaChaim, it's not to block us from getting into the Eitz HaChaim, to getting into Gan Eden, but rather it's to guard, to assure that one day man will find his way back to the Eitz HaChaim. That's the, and that we said was the Kruvim, which is man's sensitivity towards spirituality. It's Klal Yisrael's. We see the Kruvim by the Aron HaKodesh. It's the idea of humanity as the bearers of the Shechina, and ultimately all of mankind, not just Klal Yisrael, and not just this holy place in the Beis HaMikdash, but really the sensitivity, the awareness that there's a spirit in the world, that there's Ruchnius, but also the Lahat HaCherav HaMisapachas, the flame of the spinning sword, the troubles and difficulties in life, which frustrate people when they're living the wrong way. So the combination of both the frustration of when you do the wrong thing, how it doesn't work out, and the man's innate awareness that there's something higher and more spiritual, these together are the way that's going to ensure us back to Gan Eden. That's what we learned last week. So parallel to that is another point. Like I said, in Tana de'Bel Yo and Vayikra Rabbah, if you want to look it up, it's Perek Tes, Os Gimel. He says as follows. I'm going to read you most of these pages with some minor explanations. This way that leads to the tree of life is called Derech Eretz, the way of culture and social wisdom, which educates man to morality and order in his social life. As Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rav Nachman says, Chaf Vav Doros, 26 generations, Kodma Derech Eretz Es HaTorah, did Derech Eretz, which he's understanding mean culture and social wisdom, preceded the Torah. Hadohu Dechsiv, that's the Pshat in the Pasuk, Lishmar Es Derech Eitz HaChayim, that's the Pasuk that we just read, to guard the way to get back to the Eitz HaChayim. Derech, when it says Derech in the Pasuk, Zu Derech Eretz, that's referring to what Hirsch is calling culture and social wisdom. And after that, the Pasuk says, Eitz HaChayim, Zu Torah. And the Medrash says, that's referring to Torah. So there's an introduction before you get to Torah that the world needs this precursor of the way of culture and social wisdom. So let's understand what this means. So I'm going to skip this translation I just gave you. And here, listen to these words. Culture begins the education of mankind, and the Torah completes it. The Torah is human education in its consummate form. The fig leaf, right, that Adam and Chava gave themselves when they sensed that they now had a conflict between their pure way and their bodies, which were pulling them another way, and the apron, that's what Hashem gave them as the clothing. The first signs of culture, clothing, which is some sort of dignified way of living, beyond your natural raw way, began the education of man. And culture that is subordinated to morality, right? Another culture for a higher purpose, not just culture for culture's sake, which we'll talk about in a moment, but if there's a purpose behind the culture, is the first stage of man's return to God. Then he says a fascinating point, which I believe he has many essays on it. I really haven't worked through this yet enough. He has a whole section in the collected writings called Mensch Yisrael, which I think he explains very briefly in this paragraph. Mensch Yisrael, Mensch is the regular human, and Yisrael, Israel, the Jewish people, which are some other type of human, elevated through what the Torah expects of us. So I'm just going to read you the paragraph, and Belina, there one day when I have this work through better, we'll elaborate on it. In the case of Israel, Derech Eretz and Torah are tied together. In the house of Israel, the perfect human being and the perfect Jew are identical concepts. In other words, I think the Torah, in all of the social laws of the Torah, tell us what the ideal is of how Hashem wants us to be. But there's much more to it than that. In the development of mankind, however, culture precedes Torah. In other words, the 26 generations that came before are for the world. Once we get the Torah, we have a simultaneous Derech Eretz and Torah. The sword and the kruvim, the suffering and the intuitive perception of a higher being, will guide mankind to the path of culture, which leads to the tree of life. That's for the rest of the world. So then that's the culture of the world, which is social law and rules that they have to create in order to function, because they're all competing against each other. The fact that we have red lights so we don't kill each other on the road is part of culture. It's part of the, it's part of how design life to function. And there's something good to be learned from that. The fact that you have James Taylor singing a beautiful song like "You've Got a Friend," it's actually Carole King's song, right? That's a beautiful thing that the song sings about. If you're in trouble and you're all alone, you can rely on me. I'm there for you. That's beautiful. There's nothing not Torahdic about hearing James Taylor sing "You've Got a Friend." It's beautiful. And it makes us happy to hear the world thinking about stuff like that. And those are the sensitivities that the world, the good stuff of the culture, that is the precursor to a higher, more elevated sense, which ultimately leads mankind to be ready to hear in its purest form what it is that Hashem wants of us. He goes on to say, hence, the Jew is pleased with all culture, provided that it leads to the recognition of truth and the cultivation of goodness. But where culture is put in the service of sensuality, the result is increased corruption. There are many songs out there, I don't know if hip-hop is a good example of it, rap, where not just foul language, but the things they're talking about are stealing and sensual pleasures, and it's just in the gutter. I remember Bulman once spoke about Greek culture, and he said he was on waiting in an air. Bulman was one of my rabbis who was a Hirshian, also a Gera Chassid, a very fascinating man. And Reb Bulman once said he was waiting in an airport, and there was back in the days in the 80s when boomboxes were very popular. And he was just listening to this thumping music. And he was very loud about his explanation. He was like pounding on the desk when he was talking. He was like, and they're saying, kill me, I will kill you. And that's what he was hearing from the music. It was just so grating. That's not culture that elevates. That's culture that sends us the opposite direction. So where culture is put in the service of sensuality, the result is increased corruption. Such misuse of Derech Eretz, however, does not negate the intrinsic value of culture. For im ein Derech Eretz, ein Torah, says the Mishnah in Perkei Avos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud Zayin. In other words, we recognize you need Derech Eretz. Without Derech Eretz, your society at large is not going to find their way to Torah. Just because there's bad culture out there doesn't mean we throw out all culture. It means we have to sift through what's good culture and what's bad culture. Hence, the Jew should cherish all that is good and true in culture. And by his personal appearance and demeanor as a cultured individual, demonstrate that to be a Jew means to be a man raised to a higher plane. So we are, so again, this idea of Torah and Derech Eretz for a Jew, that it's Mensch Yisrael, that we recognize that we too are part of humanity. We're not just this other being called Jews, but we recognize the value of what culture provides for the world. So when we dress neatly and when we speak with good diction and we're courteous to people and we open the door for other people, all of this is just a demonstration of what the Torah represents and what God wants of not just Jews, but of his whole world. On the other hand, im ein Torah, ein derech eretz. That's also there in the Mishnah. If there's no Torah, there's no derech, meaning if a culture does not lead to Torah, but rather seeks to take its place, then that culture is not the way that leads to the tree of life, but is the way to degeneration. So I think that's just in a nutshell. There's many things I could say on the subject. Just if you're curious to hear the ultimate speech of Hirsch on the subject. So in the collected writings, I think it's volume 9, if not, maybe it's volume 8. So there was a person named Heinrich von Schiller, who was a great humanist in the time of Hirsch, actually preceded Hirsch's time. And on his 100th birthday, he was already dead, I believe, but the whole country of Germany was celebrating his 100th birthday. And in Hirsch's own school that he had founded and was the principal of and oversaw its education, he called an assembly on that day, on the same day that the whole country was celebrating this great thinker, this great German thinker. And he gave an amazing speech about the value of Schiller's way of looking at the world, and this very, very amazing words. Go check it out there about how he valued the higher culture. I realize there's much to be said. Look what happened to Germany. Oh, so look at the great culture. Look what they did. There's a lot to be said on that. Rav Schwab has an essay on the subject. Kristallnacht turns out to be the timing of Kristallnacht is the exact same day that Hirsch made that speech in the Jewish calendar. So there's a lot of Torah on the subject within the Hirsch community, whether they reject what the Rebbe said or not on this one, but it's out there. I'm not going to get into more than that for tonight. Different time, maybe we'll talk. I'll read you the speech or parts of it, and we can have that debate. I can read you the essay from Rav Schwab on the subject also. But they used to give out at bar mitzvahs. Rav Schwab writes, at bar mitzvahs, they wouldn't just give you svarim, but there would be a table. They would come, all the guests would come, and they would put things in the front. They're svarim, they're gifts they would give you. And some would give you Schiller and other of the German humanists of the time. They thought this was part of your important education. And he writes, after Kristallnacht and after what happened, we don't do that anymore at bar mitzvahs. We stopped giving out those kind of gifts. Anyway, that's a separate conversation.